Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today we'll discuss the article by Underwood et al. Titled Cell-Generated Traction Forces and the Resulting Matrix Deformation Modulate Microvascular Alignment and Growth During Angiogenesis. This article published online May 9, 2014. My guests today are Deputy Editor Mary Lindsay, lead author Jeff Weiss, and expert Hai Chow Han. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. This article by the Weiss Laboratory explored the relationship between tissue mechanics and angiogenesis. Using a combination of computational and biological approaches, they showed that the more mechanical boundary constraint there was, the less vascularity and branching that occurred. Jeff, what is meant when you say changing the boundary conditions?
The term boundary conditions in this manuscript is used in the sense of mechanics to indicate that a boundary of the culture volume is constrained from pulling away. So we adjusted the different boundary conditions by using a stainless steel mesh that constrained portions of the collagen construct from retracting under cell-generated traction forces.
Long axis constraint led to microvessels that were aligned in parallel to the constrained axis, while short axis constraint led to random microvessel orientation. Jeff, what are the implications for that finding?
When the long axis is constrained, the angiogenic sprouts and the cells in the culture are still able to retract the short axis of the construct due to the fact that it's the aspect ratio of the gel still allows them to produce traction that allows it to retract in the lateral direction. And this lateral retraction results in alignment of the collagen fibrils in the matrix. And then the sprouting microvessels then grow along that long axis direction. In contrast, in the short axis constrained gels, because of the relatively small aspect ratio, the lateral direction is not free to retract, even though it is not constrained mechanically by a boundary constraint. And so because of that, the vessels don't exhibit any alignment much in the same way as the fully constrained cultures. And so the implications of this are that the boundary conditions and the relative length and thus the effective stiffness of the gel in the different directions are what is determining whether the microvessels align or not during growth.
Hai Chow, why is it important to evaluate the mechanics of blood vessel formation?
Well, I think in general, mechanical stress are very important in the adaptation, growth, and remodeling. So Jeff used very dedicated experiment, I think, show that it's actually the compressive strain that determines the direction of vessel growth. So I think that's very important because in general, in human body, all the tissue are under all different kind of stresses. So by understanding how the stress can control the vessel growth, then we can maybe develop a way to control how the vessel grows.
Hai Chow, can you discuss a little bit of the benefits of using computational approaches in terms of being able to simulate on a more quicker level what would take much longer in an experimental approach?
Sure, Mary. I think with this computational model, first Jeff showed with this paper, he validated the model in a sense because one way he used a model to explain what's going on with the experiment. Actually, secondly, this way he kind of validated the model. So once we have a model, as Jeff developed, then we can use a model actually more effectively predict what's going on in the tissue, what would happen when you design a new experiment or when you have a new situation. You can use a model to do predictions for various cases more cost-effectively. So this way you don't have to run thousands of experiments to figure out what's going on.
I agree with that. This model helps to build a strong foundation on which future simulations and then experiments can be dovetailed to it. Jeff, your study revealed that neovessels do not orient along the direction of tensile stress. Why is this something good to know?
Well, I think that there's this contrasting opinions in the literature about whether stress fields or strain fields are responsible for modulating microvessel alignment during angiogenesis. My feeling on this topic, based on the research that we've presented here, is that what is really controlling the alignment of these microvessels as they grow is their ability to deform the matrix. And so rather than there being a stress-based stimulus that's causing them to align along, in the case of the long axis constrained gels, the long axis, what's in fact happening is that the deformation of the matrix produced by the growing microvessels is realigning the matrix, and then the microvessels follow that alignment in the matrix. So it points, as was said, to a strain-based mechanism for microvessel alignment during growth that's based on their ability to deform the matrix rather than any kind of persistent stress.
Hi, Chell. Would altering the ability of cells to contract and remodel the extracellular matrix be more important in some organs than in others? For example, in the heart versus the skin versus the ligament?
Good question. I think it's generally, it's similar, actually. So for all kind of different tissues, there will be issue of stress, how the vessel, microvessel grow. So with this knowledge, we can apply it to all different tissues. So we can use control the mechanical strain or adjust the mechanical stiffness of the matrix. Then you can control the growth of the microvessels in all different type of tissues, like in ligaments or heart or arteries and other tissues.
Jeff, figure 8 is very interesting. How do you interpret those results?
The experiment illustrated in figure 8 was designed to determine whether or not there was any residual stress or traction in the long axis constrained constructs. We cut one end of the construct free from the constraining boundary and monitored the retraction over time. So by looking at the initial amount of retraction, then how it changed over time, we could get a feeling for what was going on with the stresses in the construct. And the interesting result here is that initially there is very little retraction, indicating that there's very little residual stress or force in the construct. Thus, the stresses that are produced in the construct by cell-generated traction are dissipated over a very quick timescale compared to the growth that's occurring in the culture. We also showed by treating the culture with cytochalasin D that the retraction over time is indeed based on cell-generated cytoskeletal forces. And so in combination, these results further support the notion that the mechanism alignment is not stress-based, but rather based on the effective stiffness and the resulting strains that occur transverse to the direction of alignment.
The results in this study indicate that extracellular matrix influences vessel formation in more ways than one. And this article is a good example of engineering and vascular biology merging to answer an important question. Hi, Chell. Can you discuss how construct shapes, for example, a square versus a hexahedral versus a circular shape, would alter vessel density and alignment?
Well, I think what Jeff has shown here is the shape actually affected the vessel alignment. But the mechanism actually fundamentally is actually it affects the strain field. So when you have a compressive strain, then the vessel will align to the direction that's perpendicular to it. So that's actually how the shape affecting the vessel alignment.
So Jeff, why are blood vessels circular?
That's a good question. I assume it has something to do with the internal stresses that they're subjected to as flow occurs through them. In this case, we're really talking about neovessels, so in the sense that these vessels are not already carrying blood. So we're looking at the process of angiogenesis, and that process occurs in the absence of blood flow. I think that's an important distinguishing characteristic between adaptation of existing vascular networks that are perfused and in the studies of angiogenesis. So I think, you know, if you have an internal vessel that in a cross-section is subjected to effectively a uniform pressure on that cross-section, then you would expect the shape to be circular. On the other hand, you might find that constraints produced by surrounding tissues might deform that cross-section into something other than a circular one.
Hi, Chell. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think it's basically a principle of optimization. So in terms of tissue growth, in terms of the stress loading condition, circular is definitely better than square vessel.
Jeff, what are some downstream applications where this information can be useful?
Well, I think that one of the major applications, as was alluded to, is that we can now do simulations to see how mechanical constraints might be predicted to affect microvessel alignment. So this provides us with an in silico mechanism to investigate possible in vitro experiments that we may want to look at to design, for instance, pre-aligned microvasculatures for engineered tissue constructs. The other aspect that we're interested in pursuing is looking at the interaction between mechanical factors that influence angiogenesis and cytokine factors such as gradients and cytokines, and looking at those two types of stimuli together in different ways. So I think in the future, this work provides the basis for pursuing some of those research studies.
Very interesting. Jeff Weiss, Haichao Han, thanks for discussing this article with me. Back to you, Kara.
Thank you for listening to this AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.